Previously on Cubs Out Loud.
Have you seen it hard?
He actually went up to the cop and asked him if he was gay.
Your dad's kind of hot.
Hey, it's a little tough to answer how you doing with a cock in your mouth, frankly. Come on, people. Give a tank some love. Throw them a hug. Just let them know you care.
Yeah, lick my balls.
Disclaimer, not vibrators.
It's Tuesday, June 16th, 2009. I'm Jeff.
And I'm eating some very foo-foo mac and cheese. I'm Jen.
And I'm Tim Cub.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 71. And warning, not good for Alcar. Okay. By the way, Grift is in the city this week, so he said he should be back next week. So just to let y'all know.
Excellent. Meanwhile, what did y'all do this weekend?
Ding 54. Actually, I dinged 54 today, but I got up to 53 this weekend. So,
for those of us who are uninitiated, would you mind explaining that some?
I leveled my character, my paladin, to 54.
Okay, I thought you meant your waist, because the last time you said...
The last time I dinged 40. No.
See, I was going to say, because it's like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't gain that much weight.
That would explain, I was going to say, if had you dinged 54 in actuality,
I dinged a good way. Shirtless today.
Oh, that's super chill. That's right there.
No. I dinged my character, and wow. So that's about it.
Oh, I see. How
then I got someone said the more you ding, the more blowjobs I had to give you.
Hey, Tim, what'd you do?
I had a fairly low key weekend. I did, however, go out to the RCC briefly on Friday night to meet Nard from the Barry Podcast, who was in town Friday night. And so it was fun meeting with him. Josh and Jake were there as well as Jeff, too. Not Jeff from the podcast, but another Jeff. Because, you know, every gay man in America who is not on this podcast is named Jeff, too.
Wait, Jeff from Houston?
Not Jeff One, that's me.
Yeah, yes, Jeff from Houston. I don't think he's actually in Houston anymore.
He's actually here. He lives like a mile away from me, but he has not invited me over. I'm insulted.
Perhaps he's listening, and so you might get an engraved invitation in the mail here shortly.
Of course, then JJ Sandholt stuck up. He didn't invite me, so he probably just not invite you anymore.
Anyway.
Well, let me see. On Saturday night, me and my friend Jorge and Tony, we actually, well, he called me and was like, you know, why don't we do the biker rally? I'm like, the biker rally? I didn't know there was a biker rally. First, we had just dinner at Shady Grove, and I've talked about this before. I love Shady Grove. It's a great outside, you know, al fresco type dining place. And what do they call it? Shady Grove. There's a gigantic, huge tree. I mean, right in the middle of the patio. It's fantastic. And it does literally shade the entire patio. It's awesome. And the food, I've never had anything bad from there. I had the chicken fried steak. The chicken was uber tender. It was very delicious. And I had the twice baked baked potato with jalapenos.
Wait, you had the chicken fried steak and the chicken was nice and tender?
Chicken fried chicken.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, the chicken fried steak doesn't actually contain any chicken. Weird.
And usually they have really great cobbler. This time it wasn't so good. But usually they have very good cobbler. Afterwards, we went to 6th Street, and I heard about this rot rally. this I guess it was just a gathering of motorcyclists, all sorts, Harleys to like sport bikes. I mean, all over the downtown. It was amazing. Like, you can hear like the loud engines from like blocks and blocks away. We had to park a few blocks away from 6th Street, but we went down there. Lots of great bikes going in there. Lots of cute guys on bikes. A lot of cute bears. 6th Street was packed. Actually, I think that's the first time I've ever been on 6th Street on a Saturday night. Ever. So, because I usually just stay away from 6th Street, but I was actually there. I couldn't believe how many hot dog stands there are on 6th Street. It's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, when you're drunk, you need a hot dog, frankly.
Exactly. Like in college. They have this place called Best Worst, and there was like a huge line.
I like wieners.
We all love wieners.
Save that one.
No, but bikes everywhere. I mean, parked on 6th Street and lots of eye candy. Not a lot of lesbians. I thought I would see like a whole bunch of lesbians. Not so much, but lots of eye candy. It was fun. Really fun. We were talking about, you know, helmet laws. I'm just thinking, I can't believe Texas doesn't have a helmet law. I mean, people call motorcyclists.
Yeah, yeah, both bicyclists do. That is, at least when they're not on UT campus, used to have to wear helmets. I'm not sure about so much anymore, but anyway, I'm surprised it doesn't apply to motorcyclists as well.
Donors, what we call bikers, but really cool. I was, you know, we were so cool. There was like these blue lights and different paint jobs, and it was just very, very, very neat to see. And just kind of came to realize, you know, Austin's a busy town. I mean, this is like the 18th convention this month. You know, I mean, there's always a convention going on. Oh, people always meet here. I just realized how much money the city like pumps in. You know, I wouldn't call this a tourist town, but you know, a lot of people come here. You know, there's a lot to do here. There's always something to do. That's what I love Austin. There's always something to do.
Like it's the live music capital of the world or anything like that.
Exactly. And it's great. I mean, it's just kind of nice to know, like, Austin always has money being pumped in. I mean, we were ranked number one from Forbes for jobs, and I think I know why. There's always money, an influx of money coming in. And don't get me started on ACL, like the biggest music fest in the United States now. So, I mean, it's just – I think it's nice to know, kind of be proud of Austin, Texas. So anyway, that was my weekend. It was great. So there you go.
Awesome.
Pretty much got that out of the way. That's great. So next up, we've got this. This week in COL news is almost a what the fuck. Okay, so I'm watching Rachel, as I tend to do on Tuesday through Saturdays.
Rachel Maddow said it?
Yep. And I find out about this little thing. DOMA defended by the Obama Department of Justice. Apparently, the Obama Department of Justice had filed a brief. Got an American blog article here. Filed the brief with in regards to a court hearing. The brief was meant to to dismiss the case. It was with a couple of lesbian women, I think, were basically trying to sue for their rights to, they got married and I think they got married in California, and they wanted to be able to move and still be considered married no matter what state they're in. Basically the full faith and credit clause in the Constitution. But based off of DOMA, the United States Department of Justice under the Obama administration said, but because of DOMA, we don't need to. And they, in addition to that, they also compared same-sex marriage to incest and pedophilia. I'm gonna I'm going to have the video that I saw from Rachel Maddow on the website, so everybody can watch that. And I've got several links, one to the HRC, one to the American blog article that I'm referring to. And what other links did I have? One to an MSNBC article. And actually, we do have a link to the actual brief that was submitted by the Department of Justice. It's available on scribe.com. Can scroll through there and read it in full view and full page about the it's I started reading this and I'm like, what? The plaintiffs in this case, a same-sex couple married under the laws of California, make a number of claims against DOMA. Specifically, they allege that Section 2 violates the full faith and credit clause and their right to travel, that both sections of DOMA violate the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, including its equal protection component and their right to privacy, and that Section 3 violates their right of free speech and their rights under the Ninth Amendment. Plaintiffs initially filed this action in state court, and the defendant, United States removed it to this court, meaning the court that this brief was submitted. Rather than breaching the merits of the claim, the court should dismiss this action for lack of subject matter jurisdiction for two reasons. First, a federal court has no more jurisdiction to remove case than did the state court before removal, blah, 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 blah. It gets worse as it goes along. And it's completely absurd. And I just can't believe that the Obama administration would submit such a document.
Well, it's not Obama directly, although it is the Department of Justice, and technically he is the boss, technically. But, I mean, this is kind of interesting, especially since, earlier in the month, was there a push from his administration to name June Pride Month? Right?
Yeah, indeed.
I'm thinking there's some mixed messages coming here. So, I don't know. This is kind of crazy.
I have to admit, I don't understand it. I mean, it's sad, frankly. Very sad, indeed.
You know, on one hand, I wasn't naive to think that all of, you know, gay rights would be, you know, afforded to us under the Obama administration. I didn't think he was going to overturn everything. And, you know, I mean, just, I mean, I wasn't going to think that. I mean, of course, he made some promises here and there, but I wasn't naive to think that all of it would be there. And I wasn't naive also to think about that he would be 100% supportive. Same thing with Hillary. I'm sorry, people. Same thing with Hillary. I wouldn't expect her to be 100% supportive. She can't. He can't. So, but this, in this particular case, just seems like a big slap in the face, to be honest. But no official word from the man himself.
So. Yeah, and one of the things in regards to this is that this was a brief that was sent to the court as a suggestion, as they mentioned in the chat room. So whether they actually dismiss it based off of this brief or based off of other reasons or not, we don't know. But just the act of the Department of Justice submitting this, they had a choice to submit this. They didn't have to submit a brief like this. They did not have to do anything as such. So why they actually did it boggles my mind. Because I've heard plenty of times politicians saying it's a state issue. So why is the federal government coming in talking about DOMA in regards to a state issue? Seriously.
I don't know. I mean, while I personally would love to see federal legislation in favor of gay marriage, I suppose it really only is fair as well to have the anti-gay legislation federally, but I don't. Not coming from this administration.
Well, like, I mean, think about it, though. I mean, it's, they can't, I can't imagine throughout his entire tenure as president that he would be 100% for gay rights. You know, I'll give him that.
Something like this. Even with that, I mean, they didn't have to submit this brief at all. There was no reason that they had to. And they did this completely voluntarily. And
why?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it too? Did they think Obama was coming off as too? This could be a PR move. Do you think Obama came off as too pro gay, and to balance it out, they would publicly submit this brief? You know, what was it? I mean, I could. That's feasible.
I'm frankly dumbfounded that they would come out with such a brief in the midst of one of the greatest pushes toward equal rights for gay people in history, frankly.
I think it's a PR move, to be honest with you, but I would be more surprised if the administration didn't comment on this or try to rectify it somehow in some other form.
Well, and like... who was who's the guy that's in charge of the DOJ? Was it Eric Holder who's nominated?
Yes. Yeah, he's the Secretary.
I wouldn't be surprised if he came. What I would love to hear here for him to come out and say, I had no authorization for this. I don't know. We know who actually submitted this brief. They submitted it because of a request that we're nice to, but we didn't have to. But somebody did it within the group, but you know what? It wasn't authorized on the highest level or something like that. Because it's, in essence, it's a sensitive subject.
It is a very sensitive subject, yeah.
It's dismaying.
Well, there's not much to say about it, to be honest with you, just saying that it's incredulous, but I don't know. Is it an auto reply? Someone said it was an auto reply. If it is, I mean, what you said, Jeffrey, makes complete sense. Maybe someone will come out later and say, you know, I didn't authorize this. It was automatic. You know, Obama might say something like that, too. Who knows?
We do not necessarily submit it. I mean, I honestly haven't read the complete brief myself based off of the current terms of what DOMA actually has to say, based off of what DOMA has to say and the actual law and how they present it here. Maybe totally like this is what the law says, but I disagree. And besides the fact that I completely and utterly disagree with DOMA in the first place, Defense of Marriage Act, which is the stupidest name in all the world, because you're not defending it, you're restricting it. I mean, that's like defending a kid by locking him in a closet. Make sure he doesn't get out, see the world, and move around. Because if he just kind of stayed in the closet, stayed in some sort of protective bubble, he wouldn't really experience the world, or she wouldn't experience the world. So, kind of like that. But it pissed me off when I read it, and it still pisses me off that anybody would submit a brief, submit that type of brief. So that's why.
Interesting enough, it wasn't even the top page for Dig. I thought that would be, but it's not. So something happened.
Now I'm looking at the other link you submitted, Jeff. It's the Obama's motion to dismiss marriage case.
That's the actual brief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I find it with a little bit of irony, in fact, that it has been respectfully submitted by Tony West, Assistant Attorney General.
He should be fired immediately.
Respectfully, my ass.
I respectfully want your resignation. How about that?
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And now, whether that'll actually—that our hope that he would be fired, probably not.
Yeah.
If anything, he might just get a slap on the wrist. But you know, we can help.
See, this is just a huge—I mean, like huge step backwards. You know, like if they were trying to balance things out in terms of PR, maybe he was being too pro-gay. This is way in the other opposite end. Like it's too much. You know, and if I were Obama, I'd be like, holy crap, someone needs to...
I would have just stayed out of it. Or written the defense more of, based off of DOMA, this is stupid. Just say, okay, you want a brief? Okay. The administration is staying out of it. You do your thing. We're just going to stand over here
and watch. I don't know. Being neutral in action is like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
men, what would you prefer?
You know,
see, men are guilty of all the good that they did not do. I forgot what quote was that, but you know, inaction is just as bad. So, I would prefer you take a stance. So, pick one or the other.
All right,
we'll see.
So that is our news. Moving on to something a little more brighter?
I don't think so.
I mean,
we don't have to talk about it, but we needed a topic.
Let's talk about it. It's a good thing.
We could do this as a part one because I'm sure Griff has things to say about it too. Homophobia and heterosexism. If you don't know what heterosexism is, it's obviously sexism done by, you know, the heterosexual half of this planet, or not half, but part of this planet. You know, I had a lot of some research studies and a lot of discussions in school about it. You know, I was openly gay when I was in school, graduate school rather, and we kind of talked about it. It's just that, you know, the majority treats homosexuality in such a way that's insulting sometimes. You know, I mean, what do you guys do when people just use the F word just flippantly? What do you guys think? What do you guys feel when people do that?
Unfortunately, to me, it's contextual. Contextual. I can't speak.
Wow, that hat looks faggy. That hat looks completely faggy. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
Maybe it's because I'm a little older, but I, for one, don't appreciate it. And I realize that it's typically younger folks who use such language, and my sister used to back in the day, and I didn't appreciate it then either.
You know, the people, fag is a put down, but it was been told to me that it doesn't just mean gay people anymore. But it doesn't change the fact that it's not...
What then does it mean, for God's sake?
Well, that's not even the point. The point is, it's still not a nice word. You know? It just makes no sense. Like, well, you know, don't get so offended with me. Like, for instance, South Park, it just really annoys the hell out of me. When South Park uses the word, you know, we call people fags. You know? There was an episode of... South Park where they were playing Guitar Hero all day and they got to this really high score and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, you know, you sort of say you are rock star. It says you are fags. What is that supposed to mean? You know, I'm like, and then some of the arguments that I've been hearing is like, well, it's just words. People calm down. You know, it's not the fact that it's just words, because the word themselves, the F-A-G, they don't mean anything, but it's the history, the context behind the word that's hurtful. You know what? You're right. It is just words. But there's stigma attached to that word. So theoretically, it's not just words. It's the stigma attached to the word. And that's why it gets me angry. I mean, but then again, you know, we've evolved a little bit, haven't we? I mean, I remember this older gentleman when I was in school. I can't get over the fact that people just use queer, you know, it's no longer a bad word. And he can't get over that.
It's been sort of queer. It's the word queer has been co-opted by the queer community to be more of a self-identifier, you know.
Well, and also look, the word is used in many things. Like one of my favorite songs is called Queer. It's by Garbage. And, you know, this is the queerest of the queer, the strangest of the strange, and they're just talking about the actual meaning of the word queer, which is strange. Weird. I mean, that's just what it means. And the reason why it was had been adopted to homosexuals, because when it first been started used for that is that they were strange because they're homosexuals. I mean, it's strange for two guys to like each other. It's strange for two women to like each other. So that's why the word queer came about. So it... And that's, or at least how it applied to the homosexual community, and people have and people in the gay community have co-opted it, and they do a lot of the queer movement. They're usually a little strange, quote unquote. I mean, usually people who refer to themselves as queer usually have some sort of body modifications or just piercings in their nose or something like that. You know, they don't really fit in the twinks. They don't necessarily fit here or there. They fit in their own group, and they call themselves queer because they're a little weird. In a good way. I'm going to say that. I call it weird because weird is good, strange is bad, normal is boring, and odd is a neutral weird. That's my philosophy.
You know, when I was in school, and I mean, obviously the people who are listening to the podcast are gay. I mean, I think most of them at least. So, but I'm just saying, this is geared toward the straight people who listen and maybe your friends. Hear me out. When I was in school, we did a safe zone training. Basically, when you did this training, they would give you a designation of a safe zone advocate or whatever. You get a sticker, you get a little emblem or whatever you could stick in your office that would tell gay people that you're friendly and that you would be supportive or something like that. When I did the training, they did this thing called Pride Walk. So basically, straight, gay, or whatever, you would hold hands and you would form a line. Right? And the facilitator would ask questions, and if it was true for you, you take a step forward. Remember, you're all holding hands and you're forming a line, okay? So questions would be asked: be able to kiss your partner in public, be able to marry, be able to even hold hands in public, be able to see your partner in the hospital, do this and do that. And as you could probably tell, the straight people were like in front of the room, whereas the gay people, they are so far, they're still behind. Sometimes they're just where they started, basically, and they've no longer hold hands. They've been split apart because of privileges and rights not afforded to them that straight people have. It's a very powerful exercise because it really shows, you know, heterosexuals that there is a very big difference, huge difference between you and me. You know, you get to physically see the distance between us, you know, and how much we have to work and what you guys take. You know, it's very cool. I've done it a couple of times. It's very powerful. You know, I always make jokes, and some of my straight friends, it's like, I didn't hear you, Kyle. What'd you say again? I'm way back here. You know, so I mean, it's a very powerful. And I just want people to know that. I mean, when we have to fight heterosexism on a daily basis. We do, because we're so, I mean, we're the minority, and we have to fight some assumptions, some stereotypes. I said in the Grand Theft Auto game when I complained about that, the preemptive what the fuck, you know, they consider gay people like these very flash in the pans, very effeminate. I'm like, you have not met many gay people, have you? Because, I mean, among our friends, although we are in the Bear and Chub community, it's kind of skewed. But, you know, even other communities, I mean, how many do you see that are all, you know, sparkly and flaming? You know, not a many. But that's the stereotype they hold. I mean, when I was in Pride, I saw a few, but the vast majority were quote-unquote normal, you know? But like I said, they have all these assumptions of who gay people are, and it's just, dude.
And don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the glitter aesthetic to a degree. But yeah, my life is not all a glitter or anything. So
it's amazing what they don't know. It's amazing. It really is. It's amazing.
So for all you straight listeners out there, do you have any questions for us facts?
You know, related to this, I did see a few videos this weekend about the ex-gay community, and namely, these videos were in fact proclaiming that ex-gay movements do not work. Which has confirmed my suspicions all along.
Oh, wait, you mean ex-gay?
Because there's no such thing. They can claim it, but no. There's no such thing as being ex-gay.
Yeah.
How would you be formally gay? I'm sorry.
The charter member of Exodus, one of the larger ex-gay ministry groups, was in one of these videos proclaiming that he and his other... co-founder of Exodus were actually partners and came out of the ex-gay movement about the time when HIV was hitting hard in the gay community, and one of them was actually HIV positive and didn't find that remaining silent on the issue was worth it anymore. So officially, the founding members of Exodus, one of the main ex-gay ministries, turned out to be not so ex-gay after all.
Because there's no such thing.
Can we get like existential here? I have to ask this. I mean, did any of you ever really consider what it means to be gay? I mean, really, what does that actually mean? I mean,
sexual attraction to someone of the same sex.
Dick. Well, you could be bi then, couldn't you? Because bi people also have this attraction.
Fine. Modification. Sexual attraction to people of the same sex, and not of the other.
No, that's just it, though. It's this attraction thing. Attraction is universal. It's very. I think you can bend that whichever. Which way? I think, especially, you know, when people think gay, they always gear to sex. And when you just said attraction, sexual attraction, and I think that's the problem we're facing here. It's not all. It's not always about sex.
It's not.
It is.
You are gay because you are sexually attracted to men. How about
yes? But that does not constitute my entire existence. Is my point.
No, it
doesn't. It doesn't.
Can you not be gay? Can you not be gay and say like be in a priesthood and not have sex with men? Can you still be gay? Can you?
I met a gay priest, in fact, at Georgetown when I was going there for school. And he identified as a gay priest.
It's attraction. It's not necessarily that you actually have sex.
Well, okay, fine. But like I said, bisexual people have the same thing. Like, for instance, here's a good – I found this on Dig, and it just made me just kind of angry. It's not funny for me. They say, you know, best – you know, how can I test if my son is gay? It was a question asked on Yahoo Questions. You know, I'm worried my son might be gay. I want to get him checked. Is it possible to get a hormone check, a vocal cord check? Can a doctor indicate if he's gay or not? My son has no muscles in their shoulders. He has blue eyes. He talks in a very high voice, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, because all gay men have blue eyes.
Exactly. The best answer chosen by the voters, well, there's a really simple test you can do at home. Get some vinegar, get some baking soda, and then make a big clay volcano. Then while it is erupting, if your son is too busy sucking a dick, he's gay. I'm like, what? Come on.
And the reason why that was voted up, because they thought the question was stupid. And so
I don't like the answer. It's ridiculous.
The answer is a smart ass answer. The person who made the answer thought that this was the stupidest question in all the world. So what did he do? He was a smart ass.
I don't agree. I don't think it's stupid. I think if you're a father and you want to know, I mean, and if you are uninitiated, uneducated, I think it's our job to educate them instead of, ridicule them. I don't think it was a stupid question at all.
Well, at the same time, I'm not entirely sure that it was so stupid of an answer. It may be a little offensive and funny to some.
But just sucking a dick, that makes you gay?
Arguably, it's one of the more obvious gay traits.
Look at this. This answer was just someone being a smartass. People who were voting that up, choosing this as the best answer, thought it was funny because they thought the answer, thought this question was stupid. It had nothing to do with the validity of the question. The length of the question of what they were talking about in the question, like, can I have the doctor check it because of this, that, and the other? My he just blew his eyes. I mean, those things were stupid. Now, if the question was just, I have a feeling that my son is gay, and I want to know if there's a way to find out. Just leave it at that. Not saying because he's got this trait and this trait and can a doctor check this out? I mean, they just thought the question was stupid.
Well, I obviously know that, Jeffrey.
The answer was just being a smartass. There is no problem with that answer.
I disagree.
Well,
because part of the thing behind his answer was, yeah, if you do suck a dick, you're gay. My point is simple as this. Does that really mean you're gay? It was just an observation there.
Well, and look on the other side of the table is that when somebody reads that, are they really going to think that's the way to figure out if somebody's gay? No. There is no way in hell anybody would – if this guy who put up the answer or put up the question said, well, okay, and he goes and builds a volcano and turns around to see what his son is doing, and his son is paying attention to the frickin' volcano and say, oh, my son, is he gay? Great. Well, mainly because the guy is stupid for thinking that that was actually a good answer.
Well, then I think Fuzzbear has a good compromise here. Sucking a dick, no. Wanting to suck a dick, yeah. If you have a desire to, yeah, I think you're just at least a little bit gay. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, a little bit. How do you test that?
Well, how about this?
Why couldn't you just ask the kid? Dude. Are you gay?
Ding, ding, ding.
Sometimes just flat out asking.
And you know what? You know what? No. This is the other thing. There, I know of a particular friend. My friend's partner, really. Does not like sucking dick. Hates it. Can't stand it.
But right.
100% gay. Can't stand it.
Sure.
Doesn't want to
at all.
Not even a little bit.
I know guys who are 100% tops. Totally gay.
So
that's why I'm just saying, I'm saying it's like, sure, these are not the criteria, but in the case of this, what this dig post, one of the reasons why it's on dig is because of that answer was funny. It was because it was funny. It wasn't because it was a good answer. It was because they thought the question was stupid and somebody made a really funny
comment. I'm not disagreeing with that, Jeffrey.
Which is one of the reasons. See, I don't understand what your problem with this question is.
My problem was the assumption that doing this act will make you gay. Yes, I understand
Who is assuming that? In this question,
the guy who answered it.
Didn't. The answer that he put up there was a joke answer. He knew that gays suck cock, so he was like, "Well, try this." And if he's busy sucking cock, I mean, it's a joke. Okay. The guy didn't think there's no way this guy thought that just sucking dick made somebody gay. That was a gay trait, I suppose. But it was a freaking joke.
I understand that. Take a chill pill.
Okay, anyways. Where were we?
Oh, you too. What am I going to do with you?
Probably move on.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's talk about... Does anybody have any what the fucks?
Well, yours was a what the fuck. Your news was a what the fuck.
Oh, I suppose that was.
Arguably. But,
so let's go on to the kind of borderline what the fuck and what not, maybe pick type thing. But I thought this was kind of interesting. Inmate sues over 55-hour erection.
How did that happen?
An ex-prisoner in New York is suing his former prison nurse for failing to treat his painful erection, which lasted for 55 hours before he was admitted to a hospital. An ex-con says he was worried about his antipsychotic medication left him erect for 14 hours. He was checked into the prison infirmary where, according to the lawsuit, the nurse simply told him to put ice on his penis and sent him back to his cell. After having a painful erection for 14 hours, don't you think something's a little more wrong than just put ice on it? Really? I mean, seriously.
Can it really cause damage, being erect that long?
I'm sure there's a reason why those Viagra boxes says if your erection lasts for more than 4 hours to consult a doctor. I mean, I don't know what the exact damage would be.
He's kind of cute.
He is.
I love to see
Even worse, but the physical distraction is the fact that the other inmates won't stop asking him, is that a shiv in your jumpsuit, or are you just happy to see me? I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, too. When I saw the link earlier this week, I did notice there was an ad in the top corner. Let's see if it's still there. For help with erectile dysfunction.
Related articles.
Indeed. The next erectile dysfunction drug may be rubbed into the skin. I found that to be funny in context with the article that it came with.
Now, here's the question, though. Now that I'm looking at this, now I'm wondering, is this a real article or is this a... Or is this like an Onion-ish type article? It's from a site called Asylum.com. Anybody know?
I do have to wonder.
Question. I think it's kind of funny, but if something like that really does happen, I'd be like, oh my.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that actually did happen. At the same time, given the context, it's a little skeptical, frankly. Anyway.
That's mine. Tim.
Anybody who listened to last week's episode and anybody who's been speaking with me since then knows that I am wild about my G1. What I have noticed about my G1, and I love it.
Oh my God.
Is that, of course, that my Gmail comes directly to my phone as well, of course, to my computer. But when I'm sitting here at my computer, for example, I'll notice that my phone will beep to tell me I have a new email, whereas the little envelope that's in the Google toolbar up at the top of my browser does not alert me to anything until I actually click on the closed envelope. Ordinarily, when I have a new waiting email waiting for me, the envelope will be open, but my phone will beep and the envelope on my computer will be closed, seeming to suggest that the Gmail actually comes to my phone first before alerting the actual Google toolbar that I have mail. And I find that a little curious, so But I do love my phone nonetheless.
Yeah. Wait, G1 has a touchscreen, right?
Yes, it does. And with Android 1.5, also known as Cupcake, there is an available on-screen keyboard as well as the slide-out keyboard that comes as part of the actual physical phone.
You know, I mean, I do like the keyboard. It's kind of cool. And also, I like the Android. I think it's very open. I think there's a lot of potential. Because if you really think about it, Apple is kind of closed in terms of its architecture. And kinda? Android isn't. Okay, it is.
That's
fine.
An understatement.
The OS for and the Android OS is just built to be much more open. So a lot of developers can tinker with it. I think in terms of potential, what things can be done, Android and G1 or whatever, I mean, there's a very interesting future. So, but I won't lie to you. I am all Apple right now. This Friday, I'm going to get my iPhone.
And really? I am still bound and determined to show you my phone before you get your phone.
It's too late. I've already reserved it. I'm really excited. And I know when I once I get it.
But you know,
it's
never too late. It's never too late. You can call and cancel it tomorrow afternoon after I show you my phone.
Well, you know what? I could see a G1 too, and the only thing is, I would still want my iPhone. And the reason, for me at least, is because it integrates well into my life. I don't think that the G1 would integrate very well with my life because of the way it works. Like, it doesn't sync with the computer. I can't sync it with my computer.
I have to admit, all of the Google stuff that I have on my computer syncs to my phone already. And a lot of the stuff I use is Google anyway.
Well, then also look at this. Get your podcasts on there.
You know, that's why I
got them downloaded on my computer. But I also have videos. Yeah. Web interface is perfectly fine for me and hooks directly up to my Mac. I like the sync feature on that. I don't have to worry about having to any network connection to get my podcast loaded on there because it's saved right onto my iPhone.
Yep. Yes. Well.
So it just works well for the environment that I'm in.
3-1. I know Griff
it's,
has
no,
one.
No, you gotta one. Say our friend Tim and I's friend
Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin has one and he absolutely adores it too, a G1. So I mean, it's not for everybody. I don't think I could stand the size and that lip. You know how
they actually call it a chin. It's called a chin.
A chin.
Okay. I don't think I could stand that.
Really?
Yeah. So nice flat.
Isn't it kind of bulky for me?
It's not that bulky.
It's probably a little bit thicker.
But it is.
And it's practically just as big as an iPhone, frankly.
Thicker and bigger.
Sorry. Size queen. Anyway.
I am a size queen. Anyway. No, but good for you. But yeah, Friday morning, getting my iPhone, and for the whole day, I'm just downloading apps. That's all I'll be doing.
You know, that's what I've been doing pretty much since I got my
phone. You can do that now.
And exactly.
Go to the iTunes store.
You can go to the T-Mobile store, get a G1, and download apps right now.
Oh, well, just making a wish list so far.
Or you can go on to iTunes and just go ahead and download apps. And then once you have your phone, you connect it up and install them.
You know what we need? We need someone who has a Palm Pre. Is that out yet?
It is out. I don't know anybody who's got one.
If I didn't have my iPhone and was still on Sprint, I might have gotten a Palm Pre. I think if anything, the iPhone just works better for my environment.
See, yeah. I'm happy with my G1. Like,
I also
happy.
Heard. I think Leo said that Palm Pre is hard to type with or something.
It's got the Chiclet keyboard on that go pull it out and
I hate
the keys. A lot of people don't like the keyboard very much on the Pre, but in general, they really like the phone. There's some software issues that they have. Power management, not so great. But most of the flaws with the Palm Pre are going to be fixed in software. They're going to easily be able to fix it in software. I just got an iPhone. I'm happy with it. I'm not worrying about switching over to a different phone. I do wish that I was on Sprint. I like the Sprint network better than AT&T because AT&T sucks stunky balls.
Verizon, I think iPhone just works for me. I think arguably Verizon and Sprint are probably the best for data. But I would probably go with Sprint because Verizon has screwed me over in the past. But yeah, it would be nice if it was on Sprint or even, I guess for even Verizon. I mean, the data plan for that phone is what's going to kill me. My God, it's $100 minimum.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to getting my next bill necessarily. But
my total bill, and this includes my phone, my internet, and my cell phone, is like $120 for everything. So
that's not too bad.
I think my total, like the iPhone portion, is like $60-$70. I think $70.
That's not possible.
That's how it's always been. The data plan is $30. The voice plan is like another $30-$40.
It's another 30,
and then the text is another $5 for 200 messages. And here's the cool thing is when 3.0 comes out and they finally enable the MMS is not extra as long as you paid that $5 for 200 messages. That's 200 messages, text, or
so you don't go through more than 500?
More than 500 texts?
Because I'm thinking once I get my iPhone, I'll be a text.
No, I got Twitter. Twitter is my text, and that's by data. And then there's a few things where I'll actually text somebody. So I do use text messages, but mostly I'm using Twitter or I shoot an email out. I mean, there's data, my unlimited data plan I get with this. I use that instead. And Twitter makes it nice because with Twitter, you got at replies that if you don't really care who's going to see it, you just want to send a message to somebody. You got at replies when you've got, and you got direct messages so that only the person who you're trying to message sees it. So
it's true. And you can actually download a Twitter application to your phone.
Yeah. And there's
a ton using Facebook, Twitter.
There's how many Twitter applications are on the G1 store?
Several. Yeah. There is an actual tweet, like iTweet or something like that. There's also, let's look it up in the market, shall we? There are lots of them. In fact, there's one that I've downloaded that is called Twidroid.
I think that's the most popular in the Android, yeah.
There is also, I think it's called iTweet. There is something called Pingdroid, which is more of an umbrella app for Ping FM and hooks up to not only Twitter but also Facebook and various other social networking capabilities.
Now, there are a ton of different Twitter applications and applications that can access Twitter for the iPhone. A ton.
And
there's
quite
Twitter
several.
Phone, there's Twinkle, there's Tweety, there's Twitterific. Had one Nasdaq Lion or something like that. There's a crap ton of Twitter apps. Facebook has an application for the iPhone. Is there a Facebook application for the Android?
Yes, there is.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah. For those of you who don't tweet, though, like myself, we're probably going to do a lot of...
Tweet. I've seen several tweets of yours in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I kind of got back into it, but knowing myself, I'll probably do a lot of text messages between my friends. And I'm looking at the AT&T website. If you get the lowest
voice plan, which is $40 a month for 450 minutes. I don't actually talk that much, so that's actually okay with rollover, night and weekends. Then the text here. Here's the thing interesting with the text. The lowest text one is actually 200 messages, which is nothing at all. It's nothing. $5, which is, I think,
that's
crazy.
What I have.
Okay, I can't. But see, if you do the step above it from 200 to 1500 for $15 a month, going up $10. I mean, if you had somewhere in between, I would be happy. Like 500. I mean, I could see myself doing maybe 500, not 200 though. I mean, I think my average was like 300 something.
You gotta work around that.
Find another way outside of text messaging. I mean, that's why I don't even use all 200 of my text messages a month. Nowhere near it. What I really wish on these text messaging plans is that it's only outgoing messages. If you receive a message, one, you have absolutely no control over receiving that message. You receive it, it's counted toward your text messages. You have no control.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The 200?
200 is coming and going.
Yeah, I send you a text, you send it back to me, that's two.
That's the two text messages. There are plans in the UK, I think like an O2 or something like that, where it's all, the count is about how many you send out. So your friend with unlimited text messages could send you as many as they wanted. Doesn't hurt you at all.
Anyhow.
So my workaround for it is that I've got unlimited data on here. Why should I use text messages when I can just use Twitter? And most of the people that I'm going to be communicating with that way, right there on Twitter. So
that's smart. I give you that.
And it doesn't use any of the text messages. What now? Originally, on my original iPhone, I got 200 text messages for free. It came with my plan. Came with 200 text messages, and then it was extra for more. But when they went to the 3G, they charge extra for that 200 messages.
That's
unfortunate. If I get the unlimited, I ain't gonna be a testing fool. I'm gonna use every bit of that $20. Every bit of it. I'll be texting people just say good morning. All the people. I'll do it.
Twitter, because on Twitter you can say good morning to everybody, even if you forget to put them on their phone number list. As long as they're following you on Twitter, you can say, oh, he said good morning. They can at reply you back and say, good morning. How are you today? And you've got unlimited amounts without even having to pay extra.
Here's something.
The value of Twitter, because Twitter was originally meant to include text messages, and supposed to be in addition to a web interface, you could also set it to send text to your phone, and then it evolved.
By the way, it's still the dial option that the 3GS has, right? Apparently, it's an extra $5 a month. Thanks, AT&T.
For the what?
The voice dial. You know, call, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
That's unfortunate because it actually comes on the T1.
Are you sure? Where are you seeing that?
Voice features, voice dial, $4.99 a month. Includes voice dial, voice clip, voice info. Try dialing hands-free and get the first 30 days free.
Where are you seeing that?
AT&T, okay, Apple, iPhone, 3GS.
Okay. Pre-order
plans.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
This little voice dialer app here came with Android. The most recent download of it, that is 1.5 cupcake, as it were.
Because it doesn't actually make sense here. It says just dial *8 to call anyone hands-free. Voice dial works on all AT&T phones, including the Apple iPhone.
Oh, wait a minute. No. You know that voice control we were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's an application on the phone. What they're talking about is AT&T's voice dial service, where you do like the *6-8. You like dial 2-3 digits, and then you can talk to their service to do it. But the voice control, which lets you voice dial, is integrated to the phone.
But
in case you're confused, JJ, it comes already on T-Mobile's G1. So there.
We're talking about two different systems.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, where were we?
Twatter, clitter.
We're talking about clitter. They were talking about clits on Twitter today. I went plugged my ears. Okay, so
yeah, don't be la-la-laing around clitters.
Tim, talk to us about concerts.
Well, there is a lovely little free concert going on this coming Saturday at the First United Methodist Church downtown here in Austin, and it is being put on by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, but as special guests to the concert put on by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston is, of course, the ever-fabulous Capital City Men's Chorus.
Drink, drink.
So anyway, the concert does in fact happen this Saturday, as I mentioned, at the First United Methodist Church. Showtime is 8:00. There is more information at ccmcaustin.org, but it is in fact free. So if you're hanging around Austin on Saturday evening and have nothing else better to do, or even if you do have something else better to do, it can't get better than free. So come on by.
Come on by.
So yeah, come on to that concert. Meanwhile, I do have another couple of picks as well. What we were just speaking about, namely Twitter, had a fantastic little tweet just yesterday afternoon from a Twitterer named Tiny Buddha. If you are on Twitter, as all of you should be, all the cool kids are, then go ahead and look up Tiny Buddha and subscribe to him. But yesterday he had a tweet going on that read, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. Which was a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. But yes, go ahead and please do subscribe to Tiny Buddha if you'd like to. Because not only that gem of a tweet, but other tweets that are just as gorgeous come from Tiny Buddha very often.
Cool.
Then also related to our topic for this evening, homophobia and heterosexism, there was a video I was watching just this afternoon that has been stuck in my head all day. It's a video called The Big Fat Gay Collab, which is short for collaboration, of course, on YouTube. And it had a very interesting soundtrack to it. It is basically lots of various people singing along to a song by Lily Allen. Unfortunately, the song is not particularly safe for work, I'm afraid. But the song is called Fuck You. And it is quite charming and really fun and bouncy, and if you were at all in the room here before we started recording, you saw me bouncing along with it earlier. It's just a fantastic little bit of cinema. So do check that out. I'll post a link here in the chat room as well for that. But yeah, so go ahead and check out that Ustream link. Or I'm sorry, that YouTube link, rather. Here we go. Cool. Right there. So yeah, those are my picks.
Great. Yeah. So my pick is, I got a link to an article about my pick. But my pick isn't the article. It's actually what the article's about. Europe to get Windows 7! Without a browser. That's right. Microsoft is going to be shipping Windows without Internet Explorer installed. It won't even be an option on the CD or DVD.
Oh my God. That is awesome.
I love this. And here's the reason
why. Great.
Because it's a big fuck you, EU. Is a big fuck you. Because, okay, I'm going to upgrade to Windows 7. Install, fresh install, installed. Yes, okay, now I got to download Firefox. I need to download You can't install a third-party browser without being able to go to the third-party browser's website to download it to install it. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So without Internet Explorer, you couldn't install Firefox or Chrome or Safari or Opera or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Because the EU is complaining for antitrust that Microsoft's operating system shipped with a Microsoft browser. Of course, they don't say anything to Apple, which ships with its Apple's own Safari. No, they just talk about Microsoft.
So. Yes, well, it apparently mentions that IE8 will be offered separately and free of charge.
Yes, well, yeah. I mean, it's already...
Personally, I hate IE and...
free of charge. You can already install it. If you've got 7, you can install it for free, and it's no problem. So, yeah, I mean, it is going to be available. They're going to have it. You can install it. That's fine. You can install another browser. Just when you install Windows 7, that you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get that browser installed because there's no browser.
Yeah, on other things. I mean, by the way, Griff is in the chat room. Say, holla back. He says get on USB key, CD, FTP. I agree. There's other ways to do it.
I know. I get that. But is everybody who's going to be installing Windows 7 going to get that?
Well, they don't know.
Finally, goodness, Freya will install CDs.
Excellent. So I could use them no longer as coasters, I suppose.
No, technically, I mean, the idea...
They don't have those anymore.
Will end up being like... Windows 7 will be installed onto a new computer, and then the computer manufacturer will be able to install whatever browser they want to install on there, or however they're going to do it. Which, by the way, they could do before. So, it made no sense. And IE is free, Firefox is free, Google Chrome is free, Safari is free, Opera is free. Do I need to go on? All browsers are free. These manufacturers always had a choice. It's just there already was a browser there because Windows came with a browser. So it's like, why install a different browser?
Or,
Which made sense to me.
Could you not download an open source such as Linux and use a third-party app that way? I mean, there's other ways to do this.
Linux distros actually come with Firefox.
There you go.
So they come with the browser as well. So why couldn't Microsoft put its own browser in with its operating system so that they have people have a way to get on the web? Now, they can install whatever other one. Like, I don't use Internet Explorer. I use other ones. But when I do a fresh install of Windows, I use IE to download the other browsers. Then I use them. I mean... The idea that they should not ship Windows without a browser is completely ridiculous to me.
I see what you're saying, but I don't know.
And the Borg is returning. So let's actually pause for a moment while we get the static gun. Hold on. Okay, the Borg is gone. Okay. So you were saying?
I would love to hear what I sound like in Borg. That would be awesome.
Just listen to last week's show.
Yes, last week's show is all about that.
I get to listen to last week's show. Oh my God. Okay. So basically my pick, as I said, Shady Grove. I believe the owner also owns another one, a couple of restaurants on Barton Springs. Barton Springs is pretty close to the lake, is it not? Is it? Well, I know it's close to Zilker.
But right. Anyway. And Zilker is arguably on the lake, sort of.
Technically, it's a nice part of Austin. A couple of restaurants already on Barton Springs, and one of them just happens to be Shady Grove. It's actually next to an RV park, I believe. It's very, I would say, kind of campy. You come in, it's not foo-foo at all. It's very low key. It's a perfect, you know, summer alfresco kind of place to eat. They're actually specialties to catfish. If you don't like catfish, okay. But they have this really crispy tortilla fried catfish, and they also serve it with queso. It's awesome. They have one of the greatest green chili sauces ever. And if you sit outside with a cocktail under the shade, it's the best place to be in Austin, especially if there's a light breeze in the air. I mean, it's great. So if you ever come down, that's one of the places you need to hit, the Shady Grove. Awesome. So that's it. That is it.
Where were we? I keep getting lost. I don't know why.
Meanwhile, right. How can one contact us, Jeff?
All right. Ready? We're going to do this as fast as possible because we got a lot to cover. You can email us at podcast@cubsoutloud.com or each of us individually. I'm Jeff@cubsoutloud.com.
KudzuCub@cubsoutloud.com.
TimCub@cubsoutloud.com.
Find us all on Twitter. I'm BoxTech.
I am JKim20.
I'm TimCub.
And we also have a Cubs Out Loud Twitter feed, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Join the COL Entourage on Facebook. Don't forget to hit us all up on BearCity.com, the official bear site of Cubs Out Loud. You can find me on there as Box Puppy.
Kudzu Cub.
Tim Cub.
Don't forget to check out our forums at CubsOutLoud.com/forums. Also, if you want to send us a voicemail or anything like that, we do have our Google Voice link. Just click the link on the left-hand side there, put in your phone number, and Google will call you. This is only available in North America and in U.S. and Canada, excuse me. If you're international, feel free to record an MP3 and send it to our email address. We're very welcome to send us that. Also, don't forget to review us on iTunes. I just checked iTunes today. Okay, I admit it was just the North American score, but I searched out Cubs Out Loud, and the last review we had was in January.
Oh, my God.
Which was 6 months ago, and we've had lots and lots of episodes since January. So if you've listened to a show since January, comment on iTunes.
And I admit I only looked at the U.S. store, so if you commented somewhere else, shoot us an email so we know so we can go check.
There you go.
I might check a little bit later, too. Shout outs.
Well, I know I want to shout out to Nard from the Bear Podcast, who I mentioned earlier I had seen on Friday night at the Rainbow Cattle Company here in Austin. It was good to see him and good to talk to him, and we hope he's doing well. I would also like to shout out to one of my newest subscribers on the YouTube, Mike from Boston, who's also known as Boston Bear there on YouTube. If you haven't yet subscribed to Boston Bear on YouTube, do so. He's rather woofy. Grr. So, yeah.
Okay. Jeff?
All right. I actually want to shout out to a couple of guildies who actually listen to the show, and they're straight. Check that out. Their names are Wimnar, Ice Flare, and Silver Sea. Mainly nice. Because I don't think I know their actual real names.
Oh, but, you mean it's not actually their real names.
They're friends of mine on Twitter as well as friends of mine in the guild, and enjoy running instances with them. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Brian from Phoenix. I'll see you next week.
Next week? What's happening next week?
Hey.
JJ. What? No, wait a minute. Do you have a man friend coming to visit you?
So, JJ,
you got any shout outs? Come on. Oh, my God.
Such a tease.
He doesn't want to jinx it. For those who don't know, Jeffrey doesn't like to jinx it. So, let's cross my fingers for you. Okay.
Alfredo from San Francisco, he actually sent a comment to us, I guess, a couple weeks ago. I have been told by an anonymous tipster that he was offended by my comment, and I apologize because I don't mean to troll, but if I did, I apologize. I made an off-color comment that I thought it was a joke, but he didn't take it that way, so I apologize, Alfredo. But anyway, keep sending us comments. Don't be afraid to send comments, and I will try to watch what I say.
Did you notice we didn't have any feedback at the beginning of the show?
I know, because I was going to do something, and then you went in, but anyway. But it is also a shout-out to Alfredo. So,
all right. Well, the Griff will be back next week, and he said that those will be episode 72, The Trouble with Twos.
It's true. My. So
Griff will be back.
If you're intrigued about our Trouble with Twos, be sure to tune in next week.
I'm all confused. Say goodnight, everybody!
Good night, everybody.
Fuzz, behave yourself. God.
What are you doing?
Anyway.
Eskimos next week's?